is a Brentwood production of an Engineering Elementary story.
When you hear the harp, turn the page.
Daylight and Natasha's Rocky Adventure, a Materials Engineering Story by Joey Sikowski. Chapter 1, Not What They Planned. Can you hear anything? Gayla whispered, her ear pressed to their mother's closet door. Not while you're talking, Natasha snapped. Gayla stuck her tongue out and at her twin sister. Yes, all of the... That sounds great. The girls heard Mama say, thanks again for letting us stay with you all summer, Myla. Myla and their mother had been friends for years, and she was like an aunt to the girls. It would be wonderful to see. There was a short pause. Oh, you know how they are, she continued. They are not very excited now, but they'll be fine once we're here. Fine? Natasha asked. She slumped against the wall. The small blue-gray stones, or kamashiki, on her bracelet jingled as she rested her head in her hands. This will ruin our whole summer. I don't want to go to Carlia. Gayla sat beside Natasha. It could be fun, she said. At least we're staying with Myla and Petrozafix instead of at one of those campsites where Mama sometimes works. Mama's job is so boring, Natasha said. No one cares about rocks, carvings. Mama was an archaeologist. Archaeologists study ancient people by looking at the objects they left behind. Mama's specialty was petroglyphics, ancient carvings in rocks. She worked frequently at the petroglyph site in a cave on Lake Ongoro, about 250 kilometers from their home in St. Petersburg, Russia. That was where they were headed this summer, so Mama could help with a special summer program for other archaeologists. The door handle turned, and both girls scrambled to their feet. Mama stuck her head out and smiled brightly. I just talked with Myla, she said. She has lots of fun things planned for you girls this summer. I hope you're excited. Gayla flashed her best smile, but Natasha stared at the floor. You two should finish packing, Mama said. I'll come help you in a bit. Natasha rubbed the stones on her bracelet. I don't want to pack, she said. I want to stay in St. Petersburg with my friends and with Dad. Mama sighed and wrinkled her forehead. She put her hand on Natasha's shoulder. I know you do, but that's not possible, Mama said. Dad's traveling on business most of the summer, but you'll go get to come back and stay with him and visit your friends a few times. Now I need you both to get ready. We're leaving early tomorrow. The girls started down the hall and toward the bedrooms. Think of this as an adventure, Mama called after them. It'll be fun. You'll see. Chapter 2, Adventure or Disaster. Natasha tossed another t-shirt on top of her already full suitcase. She picked up her jewelry box, the one with the dancing ballerina inside. She placed it carefully on top of the pile of clothes, then lowered the suitcase lid and yanked on the zipper to close it. Gayla looked up from her book. You know, we're just going to Mila's house, right? Not to a Moscow fashion show. Good thing it's not a fashion show, Natasha said. You wouldn't get in. Do you even have a nice pair of shoes in there? She asked, pointing at Gayla's small, neatly packed duffel bag at the foot of her bed. I have everything I need, Gayla said, turning back to her reading. Natasha stared at Gayla for a few moments, then sat on the edge of Gayla's bed. Gayla looked up and put her book down. How can you be so calm? Natasha asked. Our summer is ruined. This is a disaster. Gayla shrugged her shoulders. It's not like we would change anything if we're tired. Mama has to go, and Dad won't be around. Most of the stuff I have planned, I can still do in Carlia. I bet you could, too. I might even be better than being here. Natasha snorted. Really? Gayla continued. It's an adventure, like Mama said. Mama's not always right, you know, Natasha said. I'm going to think of it exactly as it is. 3 months away from home and my friends in a rickety old house. Come on, Gayla said. We could do stuff together. We never do that anymore. But there's nothing to do at Mila's, Natasha said. We'll get to the beach at the lake, Gayla suggested. You can find Kazmashki to use in your jewelry. I guess, Natasha said. Give it a chance, Gayla said, for Mama, for Mila, and well for me. Natasha managed a small smile. I'll try, she said. Chapter 3, Mila's House. The taxi pulled up to Mila's house just as the sun slipped below the horizon. The red house seemed to glow, and its shadow stretched across the lawn like a welcome mat. It's a lot different from our apartment, isn't it? Mama asked cheerfully. She opened the car door and pulled her suitcase out after her. As the girls stepped out of the car, the front door of the house opened. Even before they could set down their bags, Mila had the twins wrapped in a hug, one on each arm. Look at you, she cried. Such grown-up girls. How long has it been? 6 months? You have to tell me all about school. Come. Let's get inside. I'm just going to take dinner off of the stove I made. Carlian stew. Then I'll show you to your rooms, Mila continued. You girls head up right upstairs, and I'll be a few moments. Natasha plodded up the stairs with Gayla a few steps behind. When she got up to the top, Natasha stopped her in her tracks. Whoa, she said. Gayla peered around Natasha's side. Whoa, she echoed. The hallway was packed with bags, boxes, chests, and trunks overflowing with clothes, toys, photo albums, and lots of other things. Don't mind all that, Mila said, bounding up the stairs behind him. Them with Mila, Mama, clothes on her heels. I'm in the middle of a project, cleaning out the attic. I was hoping you two could help me while you're here. I found some interesting things. Mila reached into the bag at her feet and pulled out a hat with a giant bluebird painted on it and feathers cascading down the back. And some not-so-interesting things, she said. Mama laughed. You girls will be staying in your unusual room, Mila continued. Gayla edged herself off the stairway, trying to find a place to stand in the hall. Natasha put her bag on the floor just inside the doorway of their room. Her bracelet jingled as she jumped over the box and stepped back into the hallway. "This is a lot of stuff, Mila," she said. "Ah, you two are great at organizing," Mama said. "You can help Mila whip this mess into shape in no time." Chapter 4, A Summer Challenge. Whoops! Gayla sat in her bed and rubbed her eyes. Natasha rolled over, grabbed her pillow, and hugged it tighter. Gayla climbed out of bed, pulled the door open, and looked both ways. Carefully, she stepped in the hallway. "Hello? Dobrye utro?" she called. "Up here," Mila called from the top of the attic stairs. Gayla climbed up and found Mila stacking textbooks next to a torn box. "So that's what crashed," Gayla said. "Sorry to wake you," Mila said. "Materials engineering." Gayla read the title of the textbook on the top of a pile. "Are these your books from the university?" "They are," Mila said. "I have more in my office at work, if you can believe that." "What materials do you need, anyway?" Natasha appeared at the top of the attic stairs, still rubbing sleep out of her eyes. "Good morning, Natasha," Mila said brightly. "Give us a hand and I'll tell you about it." Natasha sat on the floor next to them and began stacking books. Engineers are people who use what they know about science and math and their creativity to solve problems. Material engineers work on problems that are related to materials, like investigating the properties of materials or figuring out how to make new materials with new properties. "Materials like plastic and metal?" Natasha asked. "Sure," Mila said, "but lots of other materials too. This summer I'm going to help your mama by taking a look at some of the petroglyphs she's studying. I can use my materials engineering knowledge to help think of ways to preserve the materials, the rocks into which they are carved. Why would engineers want to preserve old stuff?" Natasha asked. "Well, just like people can use and learn from new technologies, we can learn from ancient technologies too." "I think technologies were always new things," Gayla said. "How can a technology be ancient?" "A technology is anything or process people design to help solve problems. So computers and cell phones are modern technologies, but ancient technologies like baskets and spears help solve problems too. Materials engineers work with all different kinds of materials, from brand new plastic and metals to materials like wood and rock that have existed for thousands of years. Take a look around. What materials do you see?" The girls surveyed the attic. "The books are made from paper," Gayla said. "That co-track is made of wood. And that, whatever it is, looks like it's made of, from a cabin, a rock." She pointed at a small square object on the edge of one of the piles. The rock was green and white, the colors running like ribbons across the surface. The white parts seemed to sparkle in the sun. "That's really pretty," Natasha said. She picked it up and traced the surface with her finger. "What is that?" "It's actually a model of something you two know quite well. See?" She took it from Natasha and flipped it over, revealing a carving of a deer. "It's a petroglyphic," Gala said. Well, actually, it's a petroglyph replica. A copy, Mila said. Good guess about it being made from rock, but it's actually plastic that was made to look like a rock. The vendors sell them near the caves of Lake Ondigo, so visitors can remember their trip, but like I said, it's not real. That's why I have it in the giveaway pile. Are you sure you want to give this away? Natasha asked. Look how shiny it is. She rubbed her hand over the graceful carved lines. Hey, you don't even like petroglyphs, Gala said. You said petroglyphs are boring. You know, Mila said, Natasha interrupted. Anyway, this one's special. It looks like a kamushiki I used in my jewelry. Not the boring gray cave walls where Mama studies her petroglyphs. Right, Mila began again. But I saw it first, Gala protested. But you just want to add in to your rocklet, Natasha said. I would make it something useful. You know what I think we should do? Mila said forcefully. The girls looked at her momentarily shamed. Mila smiled. I think you should try to make your own petroglyphs, she said. One of actual made out of rocks so they could be more accurate replicas of a real petroglyph. What do you say? The girls looked at Mila, then back at each other. Maybe, Natasha said. We'd probably have to do research to be sure what kind of rocks would work best. Right, Mila? Gala asked. Go to the library or look it up online. Yes, that's one way to figure it out, Mila said. Natasha rolled her eyes. Or we could just go outside and look at rocks ourselves, she said. You can't learn everything from a book, Gala. Well, you can't learn everything from just walking around and looking either, Gala said. Okay, Mila. I see where this is going, and you're both right. Material engineers use all sorts of resources when they're trying to learn about the properties of a material or to create a new material. Sometimes we use books, sometimes we run tests, sometimes we can learn about one material by comparing it to another. So you're saying I'm right. If we want to make our own petroglyphs, we can go outside and look for the right kind of rock, Natasha said. And I'm right too, Gala said quickly, because it'll help to read about the rocks so we can make good choices. Mila looked from one twin to the other and sighed. Well, I guess yes, she said. But my main point is that if you think about this like material engineers, you can use both ways. No matter what you do, you need to focus on the right properties to make progress. I know what some properties of rocks are, Gala said. Like the texture or the color of rock. Or how hard it is, Natasha added. Right, Mila said. Materials have different properties to make them good choices for some uses and not as good for others. Why don't you each gather information the way you want to? Then you can talk about what you've learned. Mila stood up and brushed her hands on her pants. This summer will be your material engineering challenge for this summer. Figuring out what kind of rocks should be the best of making your petroglyph. Chapter 5, Gala's Questions. Gala walked into the library and breathed deeply. She wandered a while through the shelves until she finally rounded the corner into the section she wanted. She ran her finger along the row of books, and she read each title, then pulled out a book called The Genealogy of Carlyle. With so many petroglyphs around here, there must be lots of rocks in Carmelia that could work. She thought. She sat down and flipped to the next chapter, How Rocks Form. Gayla read about the rock cycle, the processes that form the three different types of rocks. She read about igneous rocks forming from the cooling of hot liquid magma. She's reading about the sedimentary rocks forming from pieces of other rocks that travel through rivers and streams and settle in bodies of water that compress them. She read how both of the types of rocks change to metamorphic rocks by being pushed, melted, and kneaded like bread dough as the earth moves. As she read how the types of the rock cycle don't always happen in the same order. Any rock type can be changed to another rock type depending on the processes it goes through. Gayla paused in her reading and looked out the window at the nearby hill. She imagined the hill as it could have been thousands of years ago, a volcano spewing hot lava, throwing bits of liquid into the air, those little bits hardening quickly as they fell. And she imagined a river of lava flowing down the mountain, hardening slowly as it blanket plants and other rocks in its path. Gayla set down the book and pulled out another, a pocket guide to identifying rocks. She scanned the table of contents and flipped to the last section. Across two full pages were questions set up by a little game board. Depending on how you answered the questions, you were directed to another question and another. This should be easy enough, Gayla murmured. How big are the grains of you see in your rock? She thought for a moment. Were the grains in real petroglyphs Mama has shown me? I don't remember. Gayla stared at the window again and sighed. The worst thing possible had happened. She hated to admit it. Natasha had been right. Sometimes you just couldn't be observing. Chapter 6. Natasha's Questions. At the beach on the other side of town, Natasha knelt in the sand and rocks and set down the bucket she brought with her. She was always amazed how many different rocks she could find in just one section of the beach. She picked up an ice cream colored stone with an orange line crossing through its center. It was almost perfectly round, except for a little knob poking out on one side. That's where I'll put a hole for a string, Natasha thought, imagining it hanging from a necklace. She rubbed the stone between her fingers. Years of tumbling in the sand and water had smoothed it. She had a rock tumbler at home that did the same thing. It worked more quickly. Natasha eyed the stone again. This might be good for a necklace, she thought. But no way would it work for a petroglyph. No place to carve a picture. She slipped the stone in her pocket and considered other rocks scattered around her. A flat-sided rock caught her eye. Now this might one work. She could almost see the design etched in the side. One by one, she placed rocks in the bucket or in her pocket. Some were even colorful and good for her jewelry. Others were gray, like the ones in Mama's petroglyph sites. Some were sharp and others smooth. Soon her bucket was heavy. It was brown, gray, and red, and looked like three rocks had been somehow mushed. "This is an odd one," she murmured. "I wonder where this came from. Not pretty enough for jewelry. Too small and rough for a petroglyph, but still, neat enough to toss into the bucket." Natasha stood up and stretched her arm over her head, enjoying the summer sun. She would have never told Gala, but summer by the beach wasn't so bad. She walked over to a giant rock that jutted over the water like a diving board. She climbed to the top of the rock and sat, letting her legs dangle over the edge, looking out at the lake. She thought about the rocks she had gathered. The brown rock would have never worked for making a petroglyph. It was too crumbly and doesn't any flat surfaces for carving. The cream rock could work, but it's way too small. But rocks come in all different sizes, Natasha thought, patting the huge rock she was sitting on. Closing her eyes, Natasha pictured the gray stone of the cave walls where Mama worked. "The rock I chose for my petroglyph doesn't have to be that color, though," Natasha thought to herself. "I could choose a different color rock. It would just have to be soft enough for me to carve." Natasha remembered one time when she wanted to use a particularly pretty gray and black speckled rock in her bracelet. Even with Mama's help using a drill, she hadn't been able to make a hole in that rock. "So I want my petroglyph to be made from a smooth rock that's easy to carve," she thought. She remembered learning about different types of rocks in school: igneous, sedimentary, and metamorphic. "Maybe one of those types is soft," she wondered. "I can't remember why they're different, though, or how you tell them apart." The ocean wind echoed Natasha's deep sigh. "What I need to do is go read about the three types of rocks, just like Gala did." Natasha shook her head and folded her legs and began to walking back to Mila's house. She hated when Gala was right. Chapter 7, Coming Together. Later that day, Gala sat reading on the couch. The books she checked out of the library sat in an orderly row of the coffee table. The kitchen door creaked open. "Natasha must be home from the beach," Gala said. She stuck her nose further into her book, dreading asking Natasha for help. "Hi," Mila said to Natasha. "How is it?" "Good," Natasha said. "I found a lot of different rocks." Natasha stepped into the living room, slowly swinging the bucket of rocks she collected. Her eyes rested on the books stacked on the coffee table. "I wonder if I could look through them when Gala's gone," she thought to herself. "I bet Gala's already got everything figured out. She probably made her petroglyph already." "So," Gala said, closing her book, "did you find a good rock for making a petroglyph?" Natasha walked to the coffee table and sat down on the floor. "I found a bunch of rocks," she said. "How about you?"
I learned
a lot," Gala said, "but I was hoping I could see what you found, too. You know, just to make sure I'm I'm on the right track. Relief washed over Natasha, and she smiled. Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I should hear about what you learned, too. Just to make sure I'm on the right track. Natasha tipped the bucket onto the coffee table, pouring out a jumble of colors, shapes, and sizes. Then she reached into her pocket and set the rocks she collected for jewelry the opposite side of the table. She pulled the brown, crummy rock of the pile and set it in the middle of the table. Mila stood in the doorway between the living room and the kitchen. You've got quite the collection, she said. What are the piles? These are the rocks I thought might work to make petroglyphs. Natasha said, these rocks I collected to use in my jewelry. This one. I don't know about his one. It's funny because it looks like a combination of a few different rocks, and it's really crummy. Interesting, Mila said. How do you figure out which goes in which pile? Natasha shrugged her shoulders. It was easy. Usually, I want rocks for my jewelry to be small, and I looked for rocks that are pretty colors or shiny. And I thought good rocks for a petroglyph would need to be bigger and have a flat, smooth side. Not like this crumbly one, she said, pointing to the rock in the middle of the table. Ah, Mila said. So you sorted the rocks into categories based on the specific characteristics or properties of the rocks. Yeah, Natasha said. I guess you could say that. You can learn a lot about a rock from its properties, Mila said. Can you think of other ways to sort the rocks? I know, Gayla said. We can sort them by how they're formed. On one pile for igneous rocks, one pile for sedimentary, and one for metamorphic. I was thinking about that when I was on the beach, Natasha said, but I couldn't remember which type of rock was which. Gayla reached for one of her books. There, she said, tapping a picture. See, the sedimentary rocks are formed when bits of other rocks are eroded. The bits settle at the bottom of the lake and are squeezed together over thousands of years. The brown rock might be that kind. That could explain why it's crumbly, Natasha said. Now, you're thinking like a materials engineer, Mila said. The process that creates a material affects its properties. You can see the process reflecting its igneous rock, too, Gayla said. They are formed when magma or lava cools. Then they're always near volcanoes, Natasha said. Or places that used to be volcanoes, Gayla replied. Or maybe in other places if the rock were moved by the earth or rivers or people. Sometimes you can see the grains in them when they cool slowly. She scanned the table. Maybe like that, she said, pointing to a speckled rock. And a metamorphic rocks are formed when either igneous or sedimentary rocks are heated and pressed. Sometimes metamorphic rocks look stretched or folded. That happens deep in the earth when big pieces of the earth bump into each other. So could a sedimentary rock become a metamorphic rock, Natasha said. I think so, said Gayla, if it was pushed way down deep into the earth. Is that right, Mila? Right, Mila said. And how do you do this process could change the properties of the rock? Well, if it is brown, was smushed together even more and heated up, I bet it wouldn't be as crumbly. The little pieces of rock might be pushed and melted together, Natasha said. So which properties are the most important for your petroglyph? Milo asked. I guess, I don't know yet, said Gala. Maybe we need to look at each of these rocks and do tests to figure which ones are the best. I bet my jewelry tools can help do some of the tests, Natasha said. I have a carving tool that we would use to see how hard the rocks are, Myla. Could you help us figure out how to do some others? You bet, Myla said. And I have other tool used that I use in my work. It's called the engineering design process.
Yay!
Come help me finish making the Ferengi, and I'll tell you about it. The girls went into the kitchen and began wrapping the filling Myla had made in pieces of cabbage. The engineering design process is a series of steps that you can use to help you meet your goal, Myla exclaimed. You've actually both already started the first step in your own different ways. Really? Gala asked. What's the first step? Asking questions, Gala. You asked questions about rocks and began to answer them by reading books. Natasha, you started answering your questions by observing, collecting rocks on the beat. And then we answered more of our questions by talking to each other, Natasha said. And we'll answer more questions when we test the rocks, Gala added. Right, Myla said. You're well on your way after you've asked a lot of questions. You'll move on to the imagine step. That's when you'll imagine different possibilities for materials you could use to create your petroglyph. Then you can choose one idea to plan and actually create your petroglyph. I can't wait for the step, Natasha said. It is one of my favorites, Myla agreed. But sometimes the next step, improve, can be just as such fun. Much fun. Say you make a petroglyph, but the lines aren't as sharp as you expected. You can improve your design to make it even better. That might mean going back and asking more questions or imagining new ideas. The engineering design process is a little like the rock cycle in some ways. There's not always one clear starting point and ending point. Sometimes you have to go back and forth between some of the steps to make your design the best it can be. Chapter 8, Engineering a Solution. For the next few days, the girls asked many more questions about rocks. They tested Natasha's rocks for hardness, trying to carve into each one. On some of the rocks, they couldn't even make a mark. Others crumbled as soon as they tried to carve into them. Together, they went to the beach to collect more rocks and study some of the petroglyphs at Mama's work site. When they visited the lake. I think I'm ready for the next step, imagining, Natasha said after lunch one day. I was thinking the same thing, Gala agreed. I've already started writing down some ideas. Natasha reached into her bucket and rummaged around. I picked out a couple of rocks I could imagine using for my design, she said. She pulled out two rocks, then reached back into the bucket, pulled out one more. Gala's eyes widened. I was imagining using that rock, too. Wow, Natasha said. We never end up choosing the same thing. I know, Gala agreed. Even though we started the engineering design process in different ways, we've gotten some of the same answers. That must be why the ideas we imagined have some things in common. So do you want to make a plan for the rock we both think of using? Natasha asked. That's okay. I'll use this one instead, Gala said, pointing to a flat, caramel-colored rock. Out of all of the rocks we tested, it was the easiest to carve. Then I'll use the one we both liked, Natasha said. It's harder than the rock you choose, so I'll have to carve into it a few more times to make the design. But I think it will hold up better. Gala and Natasha both drew plans for their petroglyph, writing out the materials they would need and how many times they thought they'd need to carve into the materials they had chosen. They spent the rest of the day creating their designs. Dinner is almost ready, Milo said, rounding the corner into the kitchen, seeing the rocks and carving tools on the table. And I am in time to check out your first designs. Sure, Natasha said. The line I carved is all ragged along the edges. Gala isn't like that, and I think her line came out better because she used a softer rock. My line is smooth, Gala said, but I think I need to carve over it a few more times so it's really clear. I like Natasha's. Well, that's where the next step of engineering design process comes in, Milo asked. I think you both on the right track. With a few small changes, I bet your designs will work out really well. Gala and Natasha both made changes to their petroglyph and improved their progress until they had two great replicas of one of the deer carvings they had at Mama's work, but they didn't stop here. Chapter 9, Old and New. The girls and Milo walked on the edge of Lake Ondigo toward the cave that held some of the most amazing petroglyphs ever found. Gala stopped to look out over the lake. She watched the sunlight dance across the ripples in the water and off the spire off one of the buildings on the shore of the lake. Come on, girls, Milo said, waving them toward the entrance of the cage. They stepped into the cave and let the cool air of envelope them. As they got further into the cave, they saw small carvings of birds, deer, people, moons, and suns dotting the walls. They turned a corner and found Mama bent over her notebook. She looked up, her eyes wide with surprise. Hi, Mama said. I didn't expect to see you here. We have something special to show you, Natasha said. Our very own petroglyph. She pulled two petroglyph designs out of her bag and showed them to Mama. After we made the replicas of the deer petroglyphs, we used the same progress to make two new petroglyphs to remind us of our summer here, Gala said. Mama smiled and put her glasses to inspect the petroglyphs. One petroglyph showed a beach and a lake, and the other showed a street with a row of buildings. They are wonderful, she said. This one must be Natasha's, Mama said, pointing to the beach scene. And this one must be Gala, she pointed to the other. The girls smiled at each other. Nope, Gala said, it's the other way around. After Natasha took me to the beach, I decided to carve a picture of it on my own petroglyph. And after I went into town with Gala, I decided to draw a picture of Petrovac's Main Street, Natasha said. So now we can remember our summer, Gala said. That's such a good idea, Mama said. The petroglyph that I study represent different objects and petroglyphs that I study in places, too. I like to think the images were more important to the people who made them, just like the images on your petroglyphs are important to both of you. How did you make these? We thought about its materials like material engineers, and we helped each other, Gayla said. We did lots of research about rocks and their properties, Natasha said. And then we did tests to figure out which materials would work best, Gayla added. We worked together, Natasha said. I'm proud of you both, Mama said. Let's celebrate. Who wants to go for some ice cream? I want chocolate, Gayla said. Natasha grinned. Really? I was thinking vanilla.
We hope you enjoyed
our production of
This Engineering is an Elementary Story.